I'll tell you, that kind of fellow is a man after my own heart. A man who would ask the congregation to stand for the sermon. But anyway, obviously you did not take orders. But anyway, that's okay, and that's good. I hope you will listen just as intently as if you were standing. Has been a wonderful, wonderful day. I mean, for the month of June, June 22nd, to have a little rain, a little cooler weather, and that's just wonderful. You know, when Audrey asked me a moment ago if we were going to turn the air conditioner up a little bit so it wouldn't be quite so cold in here tonight, we didn't really anticipate it being very cool in here. And so if you're cold, I hope the sermon will fire you up. But anyway... You know, we all oftentimes live with regret about a lot of things in life. How many of you have ever lived with regret? Don't look at your wife or husband. Now, but there are times when we have no doubt experienced regret about a lot of things in life. I want to talk to you tonight about some things that you will never, ever regret. Honestly, most of us do live with regret. Maybe over something that we have done in the past. No doubt many of us, as we look back over the annals of our history, our lives, there are things that we would like to go back and redo, or perhaps maybe things that we would like to change if given an opportunity. We do things a little bit differently, but we cannot. We cannot go back and live or relive the past. We cannot change things that have happened. But I know one thing, that we can live our lives in such a way as to know that there are things that we will never, ever have to experience regret. I think of Herod in the New Testament, in the book of Mark chapter 6. And you remember when Herodias called for the head of John the Baptist, the Bible says that he had promised her anything that she desired. And when that request was made, the Bible said that Herod was very sorry over making that commitment unto her. Judas went out and hung himself because he had betrayed his Lord. Now, a lot of people agonize over whether or not Judas was really sorry for his sin, or was he sorry that he got caught? But nonetheless, perhaps if he had it to do over at this point or this juncture in time, Judas would not have betrayed Jesus, but would have honored him. But it was a dastardly act of betrayal. I think about those in the book of Luke chapter 23 when they smote upon their breasts and they clamored for the release of Barabbas and asked for the crucifixion of our Savior and our Lord. Let me share with you some things tonight over which you'll never ever have regret. Number one, you will never ever regret respecting older people. You won't. You know, showing kindness and respect to older people is something that you will never, ever regret in life. And it really is important that we respect the elderly. Sometimes people do not. But it's true. In the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, the Bible says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head," that is the white head, and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, for I am thy Lord. I have seen sometimes young people talk in ugly ways to their parents. I have seen them speak disparagingly and say things that they would regret in years to come. Now, the Bible teaches that we are to respect the aged. We are. In the book of Job 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, "With the ancient is wisdom, and the length of day is understanding." Now, whether you'd like to admit it or not tonight, you know, older folks have a lot of wisdom. They do. You know, I've always enjoyed being around older people. It's just been a blessing to me. Some of my greatest friends are older people because I have learned from them through the years. I have excised the wisdom and the knowledge that they have had. I like to talk to older preachers because they have been through a lot of things in life. I like to share even my own experience with younger preachers, and I have them call quite often and want to talk. It really has made me feel old. But I know one thing, that there is wisdom in age. And sometimes we forget that. In Proverbs 23 and verse 22, the word of God says, "Hearken unto thy father that beget thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." I know sometimes older people can be doting. And we ain't naming names tonight, of course, but you understand what I'm talking about. Older people become real childish. I've seen it happen. You ever heard about sometimes people who go back to their second childhood? It's true. You know, people, and you've heard me say this before, but it is true. Most doctors will tell you that when people die, they die in a fetal position, and that is the way that they are when they get ready to come into this world. I've been at the bedside of a lot of folks, and I've seen their bodies drawn up in that fetal position. Well, sometimes our mind has a way of going back to childhood as well. And older people are prone to become childish. But even in spite of all of that, there is a lot of wisdom to be garnered from those who have been around a long time. I like being in fellowship with Jimmy Cook. I think he just woke up. No. I like Jimmy. I like Bill Chandler. I like all these older folks. You know, we have a lady in this church, believe it or not. We have a lady in this church who will be 100 in about 2.5 months. Now, that's amazing. I remember going back several years ago and being called upon to speak at a memorial service, the funeral, for a dear, dear friend of mine who was a Bible school teacher when I was growing up in my hometown in Hallsville, Ms. Winnie Robinson. She lived to be 105 years old. And believe it or not, 2 weeks prior to her death, she was out in her garden, hoeing her garden. Let that be a lesson to you, Jimmy and Bill. You'll never regret it. Now, there's a second thing that you will never, ever regret in your life either, and that is being kind to other people. Doesn't it make you feel bad when you're unkind sometimes to folks? It does me. I don't try to be unkind to people, but I know in life maybe I have let words out of my mouth. Maybe I said something or didn't do something or did do something that I look back with regret and I think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. And I suppose probably that's happened to all of us. But I know one thing, that we will never ever have serious regret for being kind. Someone said that the milk of human kindness never curdles, and it doesn't. In his book, Fuzzy Memories, Jack Handy writes, and he says, "There used to be this bully," he said, "who would demand my lunch money every day." And he said, "Since I was much, much smaller," he said, "I used to go ahead and give it to him." And he said, "Then I decided that I was just going to fight back." And he said, "I started taking karate lessons. But then the karate lesson guy said I had to start paying him $20 a lesson. So I just went back to paying the bully." Well, you know, sometimes we want the easy way out. Even when it comes to kindness, we don't want to take time to be kind to other people. We don't. We go out of our way sometimes to be unkind. Let me ask you a question to stop and think about this. When you're at Walmart and you're at that checkout line and you have a hoard of items there that you're getting ready to buy, and someone comes up with one or two items, what do? Do you look back and say, I got here first? Or do you say, would you like to go ahead of me? I mean, I have a lot of stuff here. Or if you're trying to pull into a parking space, what do? If someone is trying to get that parking space, do you rush into it before they can get into it? What do? I know what you do. Because I know human nature. I heard a story about a young man one time who was in his little Ferrari, and he had pulled right in front of this older woman driving her Cadillac. And so anyway, this young man just kind of whipped in right in front of her to get that parking space. And anyway, when he got out of his car, she finally parked. He came out of the place of business. Now, brother was getting ready to go into the place of business, and the lady looked at him and she said, son, why did you do that? He said, that's because I'm young and I'm quick. Well, anyway, when he came out of the place of business, he noticed this woman in her Cadillac just ramming the back of his Ferrari. I mean, she was just slamming into the back of it over and over again. He rushed down and he said, lady, what are you doing? Why did you do that? And she said, because I'm old and rich. We ought to be kind to one another. Kindness is a biblical command of God. In Proverbs 15 and verse 18, Solomon said that a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. How many of you get angry at one another and then you say things that you shouldn't say? Then you act in unkind ways. You become very childish in your actions. Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Someone has appropriately said, you can accomplish by kindness what you will never, ever be able to accomplish by force. Always remember that kindness is difficult to give away because generally it comes back to you. There is a principle in the book of Galatians chapter 6 that says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow seeds of kindness, I can tell you that that kindness will come back to you many, many times. But being unthankful and unkind and hateful are things that you will always regret. And words spoken in unkindness, and acts that are committed in anger, and attitudes that are often molded by a person's vengeance, well, these can all lead to regret in the end. Sometimes friendships are dissolved over the fact that people are not kind and thoughtful of other people. But number three, you will never, ever regret being a peacemaker. You know, there are a lot of people in our world that are what we would call professional troublemakers. There are people around that are just like that. They're just bent on stirring up trouble. Wherever they go, nothing is ever right. They're always trying to create problems, always trying to create trouble at the job where they work. They try to create problems in the community. I've seen it through the years here in Palestine. I've seen people who were really troublemakers. I'm serious. And it would appear that all they ever really think about is creating trouble everywhere they go. Whether it's their neighborhood, whether it's their job, whether it's the community, whether it is the church, wherever it happens to be, that's just their mentality, and that's the way they're going to be. Now, Paul warned the Christians at Galatia about those who were troubling the Christians. In Galatians 1 and verse 7. And oddly enough, they were troubling them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, there be some that trouble you and some who would pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, from such turn away. And he says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be anathema. Let him be cut off. To Timothy, he warned in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 23. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. Now, don't you think about that one a moment. Have you ever had people ask you questions that were foolish? Someone asked me the other day, they said, well, where did Cain get his wife? Do any of you know? Nobody knows where Cain got his wife. Maybe we should go back over to the book of Genesis chapter. No. Nobody knows where Cain got his wife. Land of Nod? Where'd she come from? If God created Adam and Eve and their sons, and they're there in the garden, where did the people of Nod come from? You know, it doesn't bother me. It's like I told a man one time, I said, you know what? I'm not going to waste my life worrying about another man's wife. I don't know where she came from. I have no idea where that woman came from. He says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. Now, I'm just using an example. There are a lot of questions. You know, people get into the semantics of, did God create the heavens and the earth? Were those 24-hour days? I mean, how do you talk hours and days to an eternal God? You think God put the numbers and the hands on the clock? No. To Titus, Paul writes in Titus 3 and verse 9, but avoid foolish and unlearned questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. But there is a blessing in peacemaking. For Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. In Matthew 5 and verse 9, Jesus said it this way, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. There are some sometimes who are bent on destroying peace, but not promoting it. But then number four, let me share with you another one. Things you'll never regret. You will never regret guarding your mouth. David said, set a guard over the door of my lips. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. He said, a word fitly spoken is like what? Apples of gold and pictures of silver. James went to great lengths to talk about the tongue. He said, no man can control it or no man can tame it. You have to stay in control of it all the time. Watching your mouth. Be careful with your words. But sometimes people are not careful with their words. Words can build up, but words can destroy. And in Proverbs 12 and verse 23, Solomon said again that a prudent man concealeth the knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. Now, what that really translates into saying is that a wise man is careful, he is cautious, he is reserved, he isn't rash with his words, he isn't careless with his words. You've heard it said, a careless word can gender strife, and it often does. Watch your words. Sometimes we say things we ought not to say, and it gets us in a lot of trouble, and we have regret over it. And we look back on our life and we think, I wish I had not said that. But I did. I'm sure someday many of the politicians will wish they had never said certain things. I'm sure George Bush Sr., bless his heart, and he's on up in age too. I'm sure that he'd like to go back and relive that moment when he said, read my lips, no new taxes. I'm sure that Hillary Clinton someday would like to go back and relive. What difference does it make? Or Barack Obama. My administration is going to be the most transparent administration of all times. And sometimes we're just as guilty, aren't we? We are. We're guilty sometimes with our words because we repeat things sometimes we shouldn't say. In Proverbs 17 and verse 9, Solomon said, he that repeateth a matter separateth friends. That is gossip, malicious gossip. When you're out to destroy people. In Proverbs 11 and verse 9, even a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But you won't ever regret weighing your words carefully and guarding your tongue. But number five, you will never regret taking time to show love to your family. Words of love, acts of kindness must be directed to those who are closest to us. In Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, again the wise man said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. That's a lesson that all young people need to hear, isn't it? The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon this earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. But sometimes those who are closest and dearest unto us are those we least show appreciation. We have to be careful. Someone said, you know, you can keep adding droplets of water to a glass, but there is that last drop of water that makes that glass overflow. We should allow it to overflow to our families. And we ought to always be reaching for that last drop that we may lavish in kindness and appreciation, not only on our family members, but upon all of the people that we know in our world. But may it overflow in our homes. You will never regret, number six, being reverent toward God. You know, there are a lot of people that are irreverent when it comes to God, and they take God's name in vain. They use the name God, and they start adding adjectives to the end of it. You know what I'm talking about. And even if they ever use the name Jehovah or God, it is always in a defaming, profane way. We must never neglect reverencing God, our Creator and our Sustainer. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, Solomon said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path." Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You will never, ever regret showing respect and honor unto God, showing worship, homage, and respect and reverence to God will never, ever be regretted. But then last of all, you will never regret being a faithful Christian. You know, I've seen a lot of people who regretted being unfaithful Christians. I've conversed with a number of people through the years that lived lives apart from God. I've even had people tell me that who were once very faithful members of the Lord Church, very active, and there are a bunch of them in this community. Been here, maybe some of you know some of them. I know most of them, having been here as long as I have. And I can tell you, at one time they were very active, very stalwart, very firm in their faith, assured of their relationship with God, always serving the Lord. When the doors were open, they were always there. You didn't have to prod and push and pull and twist their arm to get them to come to church. They were always there because they understood the importance of it and what faithfulness really meant. But today they stand outside the body of Jesus, unfaithful. And there are countless numbers of them. And through the years, I have been called upon. We were talking about that in our Bible class this morning. I've been called upon through the years to preach funerals for people that have no time for me, for the church, for the elders, for anyone else. But they needed someone to say a few words in their departure from this life. I have been at the bedside of people who would confess to me in their own way, "I have been unfaithful to God all of these years." Some I hadn't seen in years and years and years and had been summoned to their bedside. I immediately went. I don't have a grievance toward anybody. Folks, I'm telling you something tonight. I don't have any grudge toward anybody. I don't. I don't. But I have been to the bedside of a lot of people who were unfaithful, who lived with regret. I'll never forget, I was in Louisiana one time, and there was a man who responded in a revival I was conducting there, and he came forward to me, and he said, "You know what, I have been unfaithful for 30 years. I was really once active in the church. I brought my own kids to church. I was very, very faithful. My family was faithful, but I just grew cold. And I've been unfaithful all these years. And I'm going to tell you something. I live with regret over what I have done." Oh, sure, God can forgive, but think about the wasted joy and the peace that could have been theirs. You will never regret being a faithful Christian. I have never had anyone tell me they regretted obeying the gospel. I have never had anyone tell me that they have lived the faithful Christian life for 10, 20, 30 years and that they regretted all that time. They came to worship, and that they were in fellowship with the church. And I know one thing, that in death and at the judgment, no one will regret having been a faithful Christian. But regret, unfortunately, will be the fate of many. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "In that hour of judgment, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And your name done many wonderful and good works, and in your name cast out demons." And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." You see, it's not a matter of how faithful you were to God at one time. It's how faithful you are to him now. That's why Jesus says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." I hope someday the crown awaits you. I'm looking forward to it. Doesn't have to have stars in it. I just want the incorruptible crown that my Lord and my Master will give. And I hope you do too. And if you're not a Christian tonight, you stand exiled from God. You don't have to be, because you can put yourself in a relationship with Christ. And know that when you leave this world, there is no doubt, there is no regret on the part of you nor your family members. Have you ever thought about the regret they'll have if you leave this world unprepared to meet God? And if you're a Christian and you know that down deep within your own spirit and in your own heart that there are things right now that are amiss that would keep you from heaven's gate, it would keep you from going into the city that lies four square. And you'd only be faced with a fate of regret forever. I hope that'll not be the case, but I hope that you'll make right tonight anything that might be amiss while we stand and while we sing.